When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
Hey everybody, it's the Dynamite Show. Where Paul Fontaine alongside Jeff Hawkins. Here we are. Apologize for the technical difficulties up front. I want to thank you all for joining us here live on YouTube. And if you're listening on the audio feed of Fight Game Media on Thursday morning.
Paul, yeah. How can you be so calm?
I don't know. Why?
All Out may be in jeopardy. Hangman Page might be in jail for arson.
If Swerve wasn't in jail,
what are we gonna do? We have heightened.
I'm concerned.
We may have real jail time here.
I don't think so, because Swerve is still walking in the earth as a free man after
Hangman sitting on a chair in front of a burning house right now.
Yeah, and Swerve
waiting for a pickup from the police.
Swerve stood in his home, maybe in front of his baby's crib.
hold on. This is a separate issue here we're discussing
right now.
Yes. The criminality of Swerve has long been debated already, okay, to the point where we thought they had done a turn last week between Swerve and Hangman. Nope. Hangman's currently waiting for Uber Eats to get there so he can have a snack while he waits for the flaming embers of Swerve Strickland's childhood home to finish. You know what he needs to do? Throw his arms up like Randy Orton in front of the White House.
I was hoping for that. And I want to remind everyone.
He's gone from Hangman to Burning Man.
You may have heard some audio stuff at the beginning. I think I fixed it. So if everyone... I'll explain it to Jeff after. But yeah, no, I mean, I am concerned. I know that our buddy John, who is in the chat, did mention this as well. Aggravated burglary, aggravated stalking, aggravated assault, and aggravated arson.
Just plain aggravated.
Yeah, well, I think aggravated is a good word to describe both these guys right now.
Where is smart Mark Sterling to be able to represent either of these clients and get them out of jail?
Or what's that other dude's name? Stephen P.
Stephen
whatever.
P. New. He's a little bit busy writing torts and filings about the Tate brothers and
in barely intelligible English. I did read some of it.
Did you? Is it that bad?
It's not good.
Do I need to buy? Because he doesn't seem like the most. How do I put this? I'm a little spoiled. I worked almost 20 years in big law. Yeah. You know, I worked with absolute sharks who were on their game and very, you know, I was going to say something that sounded smart and now I can't because I'm dumb. But anyways, let's go.
This is Nick from The Simpsons if he decided to be a lawyer instead of a doctor.
Oh, this is Troy McClure.
Yes. Yeah. Oh my God!
Or no, not Troy McClure. What's the name of the lawyer? Lionel Hutz.
Lionel Hutz. That was Phil Hartman, right?
Yes.
Yeah, yeah.
Mr. Simpson, I haven't seen a case this slam dunk since I sued the producers of the Never-Ending Story.
I want to throw some credit to our friend John Muse in the Discord of Fight Game Media. And if you want to join the Discord and get these scoops before they happen, send Gigi at Fight Game Media an email and fightgamemedia.com, and you can get into the Discord. But as soon as we saw the post of Swerve buying his childhood home, John Muse was angle alert. This is coming.
Well, and... I'll tell you a funny story after you finish yours.
That was it.
Okay. I read the post was so poorly worded. I thought Swerve had bought Nana's childhood home.
Oh, okay. No. I knew what it was. And I called it on Twitter. I will say, and you can check the timestamps right before I said, Hangman's not going to be there. And because he's at whose house? And then, of course, the promo opens with that exact line. So that was good. I will say, and we'll talk about it in depth later, but I really, as goofy as it was, I really like this closing angle.
That's fine. You're allowed to. I don't mind, and I don't begrudge people liking this angle.
Okay.
But a lot of the accounts I see that really like this angle are also the same people who are just trashing WWE all the time, and you know, we want AEW to win. I'm not sure you can like this and say with good faith that you're not a sports entertainment fan.
Well, I mean, if to be fair, WWE isn't doing this stuff anymore, so maybe they like it now.
I know, and maybe it's just old school Jeff coming out again, because
it's hilarious.
For me, my suspension of disbelief is that professional wrestling is an industry where men are so bad in terms of being bad and tough and fighting that this is the only job they can do. They can't survive sitting in a corporate desk or anything. And men need to wear masks to hide their identity because promoters won't promote them. And the worst that you get is aggravated assault, perhaps attempted murder at times. But at the same time... But go ahead.
I was going to say earlier in the show, we saw Marina Shafir just walking around, just beating people up for no reason. Like,
yes!
CM Punk got fired for putting Jack Perry in a guillotine. And Marina was beating these guys did nothing. Like,
I know.
Like, Tony at least must have an unsafe working environment suit coming his way. Right. Like,
I'm just, and you have a ridiculous, feckless authority figure.
Which
Christopher
is
Daniels.
Oh, I don't know which one you were talking about.
Well, yes, all of them.
Yeah.
I'm just kind
of all white.
You know, I actually before that angle, and I'm not really railing on it. It was fine. It was camp, but it was fine.
In terms of camp, it was pretty well done camp. It was a great visual.
I would say that, yes. I mean, I was more upset that once again we have now shifted the dynamics of this feud to Hangman. Well, it's a bad guy.
Well, and we talked about it last week and we clipped it for YouTube. I mean, you know, the question was who is the babyface? And I contended that Swerve was the babyface. So I feel like I've been proven right here.
So you believe in stalking just so long as the context is correct.
No, I think he was a heel when he was stalking, but that was a long time ago. And now he's turned a corner. In fact, even when he was threatening to stalk Bryan Danielson and his kid and told him he'd be in his house when he was having a conversation.
Here's the thing actually gnawing at me, and transferring heat has a very good put his last comment up there.
It's TNA.
It's TNA with a big budget. By the way, nothing wrong with that. This is what has been gnawing at me. Just a little bit after the show, is that every precursor wrestling federation that comes, or for a precursor for a wrestling federation that comes in and says, we're not going to do it like those guys, eventually does it like those guys. Lucha Underground was kind of the same way. TNA, kind of the same way. You know?
You know what's funny is, as someone pointed out today, They don't even have the records up on the website anymore.
No, they don't.
Like they're getting away. And meanwhile, on the other stations, WWE is putting up records. They're talking about streaks. They're putting results on the screen. Like earlier tonight, you saw so-and-so beat so-and-so. Like we're watching an actual sporting event. And meanwhile, on Wednesdays and Fridays and Saturdays, we're getting sports entertainment.
This is better done NXT in some ways. They have mob bosses killing people on that show.
No one is the bad guy in this feud. I'd argue they both are.
There ain't no good guy. There ain't no bad guy. Yeah. There's just you and me.
We just disagree. Yeah.
Thank you, Dave Mason.
Oh, that's who that
and
was.
And Cactus Jack. Yeah.
I was going to say Jack. David. I was going to say David Essex, but yeah.
No. That's Dave Mason.
Okay. So we'll talk about all that. I did want to point out, I finally did watch All In. I'm caught up on my AW programming, believe it or not. I finished Collision this afternoon. So I am right caught up.
I enjoyed Grizzled Young Vets and the Outrunners.
Okay.
For what it was.
I thought Outrunners were the baby faces in that one. Sure. And then the next night, Truth Magnum is teaming with the Iron Savages. And Jack Jameson, for some reason, even though Turbo Floyd was on the outside,
they're now
the
baby faces again.
Who are?
I think Jack Jameson and the Iron.
Nope, they're not. No, because they were facing four baby faces.
Okay.
Yeah, it's whatever. You know, it doesn't matter. Erica Lee is out of her freaking mind. You know what it is? It's what's her name? Kristen Wiig. If SNL was doing a skit on 80s pro wrestling.
Yeah, we had this discussion.
That was Eric Wipe in the Discord. We didn't do it here.
Okay.
So I watched all that. And I was really interested because I heard a couple of the matches that were going to be on Dynamite. And I want to see, okay, how are they going to set these up? And I get to Collision and I still have a half hour into Collision. I still have no idea. Not one single match that's going to be on Dynamite. And then at some point they had a skit backstage where Pac was out there and Kyle O'Reilly shows up and he's got Orange Cassidy and Kyle's on the phone with Mark Briscoe. And we're going to talk about that conversation later tonight. And somehow they made a match for Wednesday between, you know, that we saw tonight, which was Will Ospreay teaming with Kyle O'Reilly and Orange Cassidy against the Trios champs, but not for the belts. It was wacky. It was bad. And that was that. And then later on in the show, they just aired a video package and said, oh, Mariah May is going to be defending her title against Nyla Rose. And that was the setup.
Collision had its all-time lowest rating and viewers.
On the regular time slot. There was a couple that aired in the afternoon or, you know, like middle of the night or whatever.
Fine. You know what I mean.
Yeah. No, I'm just saying, like, those are the only times. 219,000, I think. Like, it was ridiculously low. Both Rampage and Collision, I think. It's not great. I mean, these shows are just there.
Yes.
And I'm watching them, but... And then they're using these shows, allegedly, to set up matches for Dynamite, except they're not. People will tell you that they are.
They shouldn't.
Nobody watches them.
Why would you use them to set up stuff?
But also... You don't set up matches by just announcing on Twitter 24 hours before the show.
I agree. You build feuds, and you.
Kazuchika Okada is defending his title against Kyle Fletcher, who lost in the main event last week to Ricochet.
Yes.
Where was Ricochet tonight? Where's he on All Out?
They're doing matches to get into a four way when half of the people in the matches for the four way were in a four way.
Yeah.
On Rampage the previous week, and you're just like, guys.
And meanwhile, you have Ricochet. Ricochet won the main event last week, and then I was like, okay, well, why isn't Ricochet facing Kazuchika Okada instead of Kyle Fletcher? Well, we don't want to beat Ricochet.
No.
Well, so have him win.
There's money in that.
So have him win then. Like, we can't beat Okada. Well, okay, we can't beat anyone. So we're just gonna have Brian Keith wrestle a star every week, and we're going to have Commander wrestle a star, and we're going to have the Beast Mortos.
We have a set Collision roster. Yeah. We have a set Rampage roster. And they're just doing matches to do matches.
They did, and transferring heat, they did announce a bunch of matches that you have. There's no reason you need
just
to see
went
them.
Over it, actually. Yeah. In passing, it's all these guys from all these multi-man matches facing each other for the right to be in another multi-man.
So there's three guys wrestling, three guys who are ranked below them. And of the three guys, one of them is the one that's going to take the pin on Saturday. And yes, you already know exactly what's going to happen in all these matches. And the whole point of this is so that we can have Takeshita versus Okada without beating either one of them.
Yes.
Yeah, that's the entire reason.
And Tony secretly knows nobody's buying this pay-per-view.
Yeah, I might. I really want to see Hangman and Swerve.
Nobody, where a lot of us are going to be watching college football.
This honestly is the worst build for a pay-per-view I've seen since
AEW pay-per-view, probably.
No. Since like this Tuesday in Texas. This is nothing. This, like, oh my God. And we'll get into it. But so I'm caught up. I liked All In a lot. I didn't think it was a top 10 show of all time, like I saw some people say. It was one of the better shows of the year, I will say that. Couple awesome matches, you know, MJF and Ospreay. And I actually thought the Mariah May Tony Storm match was a lot better than a lot of people I saw. You know, like Dave gave it 3.75 stars. I thought it was a lot better than that, honestly. I really liked that match a lot.
Really?
Yeah. And I thought the Britt Baker Mercedes match wasn't that bad. Like everyone's calling it, it's terrible. And I'm like, no, I thought it was fine.
I didn't think well, terrible is the wrong word for it. It just wasn't clicking.
People blame Britt. And number one, I think she might have hurt her back on one of the early spots.
That's possible.
And then, like, I think Mercedes has something to do with it too. Like, she was on offense for a lot of that match, and people would rather see her selling. And
I think watching live, when you watched Britt come out and she had
the boo-boo face. Yeah.
That will temper your opinion of what you thought.
Fair enough. And I don't watch I don't watch the entrances. I know. So I probably wouldn't
miss everything in the entrances. I get it.
Yeah. So I probably would have, even if I watched quote unquote live, because I never watched actually live, but if I would have watched on a delay like I usually do, I wouldn't have seen that anyway. So I mean the crowd was dead, so that definitely didn't help. But I thought, like, at the end they picked up, and when you win over a dead crowd, I think that says something.
I can't remember the match offhand, because I thought they clicked well together at first, and then they kind of
it was the opposite. At the beginning,
so they hit the dismount. Okay.
Yeah. Like, so at the end, they did the spot where Britt faked getting hit by the chair.
Oh, that's right.
Then Camille got thrown out, and then the very ending, Mercedes, she never hits that finisher, and she botched it this time too, and that was that. So, anyways, yeah. So that was All In. That was my ice cold takes on All In. I thought it was a really good show. I'd give it like an 8.5 out of 10. You know, like a good, really, really good show. I was glad I bought it. I was glad I watched it. And I will also say the Rampage and the Collision that were before it were some of the best go home stuff I've seen. Like that Collision from Cardiff that nobody watched, it was awesome. Like, it was a really good show, and it got me excited for the pay-per-view. I hadn't actually ordered it yet. And so when I finished watching Collision, I was like, I got to see this pay-per-view. Mm. So yeah, it did its job, honestly.
Okay.
So yeah. So let's, speaking of go homes, this was actually, you know, we just finished All In, and this was the go home show for All Out. We opened the show with Daniel Garcia.
Let me start with something hypothetical to you.
Okay.
Forget this show for a moment.
Okay.
You're building into All Out.
Yeah.
It's a pay-per-view that's not really on anybody's radar. Mm-hmm. You know, it's on some people's radar, but it's not really, you know, it's not, nobody's really clamoring for it. We're still kind of on the high of All In.
Right.
For your go home show, what would your focus be?
It would have been Hangman Swerve.
Really? Okay.
Yeah.
I would have done as much as possible to make Jungle Boy a big deal.
Oh, I think that ship has sailed.
Well, I mean, but there are things you could have done. I mean, not that they didn't do, I mean, they did some things here, but it was just one of those things where it's like stressing the importance that Jungle Boy may take Bryan Danielson away from you, the fans.
I think that if you were going to do that.
I think the retirement stip is important, And I don't think they're playing it up enough. They asked like one question to him on commentary, you know, how do you feel with it being on the line or whatever. The real sense of dread needs to be there for every subsequent match, because I honestly think it might be Bryan Danielson's last match for a while.
I think nobody buys that Jack Perry can actually win, so they're not even trying to convince you that he will. If you were trying to do that, I think you needed to hammer this home harder. I think
yes.
After Perry beat Darby at All In, you needed to have him cut a promo and say, whoever walks out of that main event, I'm coming for you. And then you do your angle last week, and then you do something on Rampage, and then you do something on Collision, and then you do something this week. And like, I mean, you've only got a week and a half to build this, right? The very first thing we heard about it was last Wednesday. That's 11 days before the pay-per-view, right? 10 days before.
Yeah, I completely agree with that. I would have done something like that. And I would have had a little vignette with Christian saying I can cash in at any time. Because I feel like they kept him off the TV for a reason. And I think that reason is, I'm going to say this right now. I think Christian's coming out of this pay-per-view with the title.
It's possible. It's possible.
I think given what has happened with, I mean, in addition to just Danielson needing surgery and the thing with Nikki Bella and the domestic abuse, I think he may just decide, you know what, right now my family needs me a lot more than wrestling needs me. And I haven't played this up. He's not big into huge goodbyes and other things like that. I think they make the change here. And I think everybody's just kind of going into this next Wednesday show going, what the hell just happened? But we'll see.
At Kroger Pharmacy, care is making it easy to get vaccinated. Care is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. Care is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.
That, you know what, and what that could also do would be to grab they could get a giant rating for next week too if they did that.
Christian's drawing a giant rating necessarily.
Not Christian per se, but the fact that the championship is in disarray and Bryan Danielson's gone and, you know, like that sort of thing. People might tune in out of curiosity. So
we will talk about that later. Let's get to
Daniel. Yeah. All right. So Daniel Garcia opens the show of all people. And before he gets a chance to say anything, we hear MJF on a mic and he's in the crowd. And he says, I don't want to ruin the match on Saturday by whipping your ass today, buddy, or bud, I guess he called him. And he's drinking some wine. He says, Saturday, I'm going to paint the canvas with your blood and break your pencil neck. I don't attack people from behind like a coward like you did. And I don't do it looking like an emaciated skinhead hooked on Ozempic. Hell of a line there.
Workshopping that one.
Yeah. And then Garcia says, unbelievable. You think anyone believes you? They know everything you said is fake and a lie. Oh, really? He's not an emancipated skinhead hooked on Ozempic? I thought he was real. Tell him the truth. Everything about you is fake. Your tan, your makeup to cover your acne, your trip to take a hair transplant in Portugal. It didn't work.
Turkey.
Yeah, I didn't write down the country and I was trying to do it from memory.
I looked it up.
Okay. And
Turkey is apparently a there's a lot of like all-inclusive packages for people to go over there, get hair plugs, and then fly back and just, all right.
Well, MJF didn't like that line. No. And he said, the fakest thing about you is your fake love for AW. You don't care about this place. You don't love the people the way I love these people. You can get fake tattoos and we will never believe you. It's like, okay, whatever. Like, and then MJF promised to make him bleed buckets and he was about to go in again and Garcia interrupted him. And he said, you shut up and listen to me for once. I said I was obsessed with ruining your life. I want you to suffer and the people that love you to suffer. If you can find a woman to pretend to care about you for longer than a year, go ahead, marry her, get a house, get a kid. Just now, every time you pick up that ugly ass baby, you'll feel a tingle from your neck to your toes and you'll think about me. And Max, your kid will ask you, Daddy, were you a wrestler? And for the first time in your life, you'll tell the truth and say I was until Daniel Garcia ended my career. I thought he was coming off like a bit of a heel here.
Overall, I liked it.
Okay.
But if I deconstruct it, it feels like a memo went out that everybody, look, we need to make our feuds more personal.
Yeah.
And instead of just saying, I want to beat your ass, they've decided to go, we need exposition to draw it out a lot more. So we're going to talk about everybody's family and everybody's little issues that they have in their actual life.
Okay.
And it feels a little uncomfortable at times to me. I don't know about you, but like, look, fake tan, I get it. The people wear fake tan be on TV. That's cool. Yeah. Bronzer and stuff like the hair plugs. I'm like, oh, that's a cosmetic choice. Might be a self-esteem thing.
It's been brought up before too.
Yeah. Well, Max's issues with women. Yeah, that's been brought up, but here's where I start getting to uncomfortable territory a bit. Yeah, and then Max comes back with your mama jokes.
Yeah, so. An ugly ass baby. You brought up something about stretching things out, and I will say, before the show started, there were three matches announced. Now, I think they went on Twitter about 2 hours before the show and announced Jamie Hayter and Robin Renegade, and I mean, that's it. So we had three matches and this, and no segments. Like normally we get, you know, like, oh, we're going to have a Chris Jericho, you know, whatever. And we're going to have a MJF this, and we're going to have a Mercedes that, and nothing. Like we had three matches. And so I think a lot of the stuff tonight was stretched out. And this promo was an example of it because it went on and on and on.
But overall, they're going with the theme of we need to make these feuds personal. So we're going to talk about every feature of your personal life. I think they're misreading what personal means, but okay.
Yeah. So Max claps. He says, wow, bravo. Did you guys hear that? Danny learned how to speak. Now, Danny, you still have a lot to learn, bud. You still have some maturing to do. You didn't realize that when I cost you that match, I was trying to do you solid. You can't trust anyone. Look at me. I was their favorite. They loved me. And I should point out, like, as he was talking, they were interrupting him, and he was getting upset. He was drawing back and forth with them. But I just wrote down the text of it. He says, then I got too big, and then like rats, they turned on me. You don't want their love, Danny. You don't want to win championship gold, because the more you rise, these fickle bastards will want to watch you fall. So I'm going to do you a favor. This Saturday, your friends, your family are going to turn on you. I'll make sure they can't turn on you like they did me, and I'm going to put you, and then at this point, the fans are dueling chants. Shut the fuck up and let them talk. And he let that sink in for a bit. And then he says, I'm going to put you in a wheelchair. And then that one person you can trust, that mother of yours, she's a good woman. She'll take care of you. Lord knows you won't be the first man lying on her on their back in her bed that she happily attended to. And Daniel just had enough of that. And he ran into the crowd, and MJF sicked security on him. And Daniel Garcia made his way through like six different security guards. Finally got to MJF, and then he gets cracked in the head with a wine bottle. And
if it were me,
yeah,
I would have taken off this coda, and just after the initial comeback by Garcia, I would have had Max leave, and then later in the show exact revenge and give this little
twerp.
You know, give whatever there. It's cool that you're making Daniel Garcia look like a badass and talking like a badass. But then you can't have him fight his way past six security guards only to be a dumbass when he turns around and gets hit with a wine bottle.
I'm not even sure if he's
This is like a scrolling arcade game where you get all the way, you spend three quarters. I'm going to beat the boss this time. Comes in one shot. Game over. Boom, boom, boom.
You got beat by Donkey Kong.
Yeah.
He got to the princess, and the Donkey Kong cooked the princess and went up to the next ladder.
Yeah, and you're like, I watched that. I just went, that was.
Let's run this back.
I made him look like a geek, and I made him look tough. I made him look stupid.
I don't even think he sounded all that tough, but that's a matter of opinion.
Best promo.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. I mean, maybe
he didn't dance.
One that was better. I think it might have been Daniel.
There was one where it was fired up and it was short. Yeah. This was a WWE 20-minute promo in the ring.
Yeah. Well, maybe he's auditioning. So MJF took a sip of his wine, and then he picked up Garcia. Garcia was busted open, and he says, "Mind if I take a seat, bud?" And Garcia's out cold, and he says, in this life, every man must go through hell before they reach paradise. And I want to thank you. You woke up something in me that's been dormant. So as a token of my gratitude, I'm going to send you to paradise. And for that, you can thank me later. And he kissed him on the forehead. He got blood in his mouth. Fans chanted, you sick fuck. And that was that.
And then Garcia woke up right after the promo. Yes.
Yeah. He just woke up. He was dazed. And then he went and attacked Max and put him on a stretcher. No, that never happened.
No. I just... the joy of monologuing next to a fallen foe. I think somebody should have to restrain him so that you make sure, but you know, that's me. It was fine. It was overall, it was fine. I'm just being very, very persnickety about it. Do you think Daniel Garcia wins?
Well, the way this was set up, you would think so, but no.
No. Okay, yeah. Cool.
I think he has a great fight and Garcia, MJF ends up cheating.
You know what it's going to be? It's going to be Fletcher and Okada.
Yeah. Or, you know, Wardlow's going to show up or something. Who knows?
Yeah. I thought Wardlow's not going to show up for MJF. He's still part of the Undisputed Kingdom, Paul.
Yeah, I don't
know. We'd have to have continuity for that.
Oh, yeah. Well, they're heels. So backstage, we go to Renee with the conglomeration. She asks Willow, at All Out, you're taking on Chris Statlander. But on Collision, you're going to have a face-to-face interview. And so she asks her a question, but she doesn't even let her answer it. And then she said, in tonight's main event, it's going to be Orange Cassidy, Kyle O'Reilly, and Will Ospreay against the BCC. And Will is super pumped. And then he asks Mark if he has any words of wisdom. So here comes Mark Briscoe. And there's the highlight of the show, everybody.
Hold on. But it's the highlight combined with the low light.
Okay. You know, just Kyle on
O'Reilly evening. Needs to die on this. Go ahead.
Oh, yeah. Kyle O'Reilly, as this promo is going
drawing
on.
Drawing focus.
Yes. And he's like mimicking talking on his phone and he's making goofy faces. And
Someone told him he was good in one of these promos.
Yeah.
He should continue showing personality. And I'm here to tell you, no, you should not.
No, he comes off as the biggest geek. But anyways, yeah. Mark says, you know, just the other evening, I got a call on the telephone from my good friend, Kyle O'Reilly. And he said, hello. He said, we got a proposition for a match this Wednesday on Dynamite. It's me, Orange Cassidy, and Will versus the BCC and the Bastard Pac. Can we get your blessing for that? And I said, you mean Will? British Bill? The real deal? The man that brings the thrills and leads the opposition taking pain pills? He said, yeah, that's the Will. I said, Will Ospreay? He said, yeah. I said, hell yeah. We'll come down to conglomerate. Let's do it. Main event today, boys. It's time to whoop some ass. And the word of today is obviously stupendous. Because this is one of the most stupendous lads to ever step foot in a wrestling ring. BCC Bastard at Milwaukee. Are you ready? Let's go, boy. And as they go away, Will's pumping his chest. And Kylie is like, oh. And then they leave. And again, Renee and Orange Cassidy are about to have a conversation. And we don't hear it. Which is a plus. This is great.
What? The first third of this promo sounded like Jay.
Mm.
There's a promo out there it reminded me of. It's the one where Jay and Mark are on the chicken farm and they've been shoveling the chickens. There was a disease that's gone through. Yes, I know. He wanted to get to his bit. I had a point to do still. Don't All right. screw with me, chat. Okay.
Sorry.
The audio people don't know that, so never mind.
Okay.
But it's one of those first promos that ROH would do where it's like, and Mark is like, I got on the phone. I said, big man. He said, what? Said, all these chickens are going to die. You know, he doing the whole conversation.
It's their version of Bob Newhart.
Yeah, but the cadence was dead on. Go watch this. I think it's called Mark and Jay Go Buck Hunting or something like that. But they're basically shoveling dead chickens out of a pickup truck, and it and Jay's telling this story about how he's going to tell his father all this and how mad they are. And you know, Young Bucks, we're going to kill you. And then Jay goes off on his thing, and Mark's just kind of being. That's where Mark goes, I'm just being all cool, all 007 and stuff. You know, that
I had to rewind it three times to get that line. The man that brings the thrills and leaves the opposition taking pain pills. That was great. That was a great line. And yes. Will, if you watched Will during this promo, Will's reactions were, he was in awe. And just try not to watch Kyle O'Reilly.
Yeah, yes.
Oh my god.
If you put your finger up in front of your eyes.
Yeah. Yeah.
And just watch the rest of the scene and just, oh, Kyle's not there. Good.
Renee had her jaw on the floor as she's watching this. Like, it was, yeah, it was something else. And yeah, this is, I mean, this is a weekly staple at this point. We gotta do something.
That's great.
We gotta do something about Kyle, though. Yes. Somebody's giving him bad advice.
Yes, I will not step on your Mark Briscoe impression again. I know you live for this every week. It's just I wanted to get my point.
I made sure I got every word for the people.
Trust me. This is why we were late. You were working hard on that promo.
Yes, it's for the people. Speaking of Kyle's, next up we had Kyle Fletcher, fresh off his loss last week. Oh, actually, to be fair, fresh off his win over Ishii on Saturday, and that was a great match. And they showed highlights of it during the entrance. So he's challenging for the Continental Championship against Kazuchika Okada. Now, I want to say something about this match. As you remember, a couple weeks ago, there was a match between Okada and, was it Claudio? Where they went to a 20-minute draw?
Yes.
Okay. So, and after that match, we talked about it, and I said, you know what? These matches have a 20-minute time limit. They need to hammer that home. They need to remind us during the match. They need to point out the reason Okada works so damn slow is because he knows his opponent has to beat him within 20 minutes. They didn't do any of that. Even though Okada was working really damn slow and Kyle Fletcher was working like he had a plane to catch. And like, it was so weird, the dynamic between these two. Like, it was a great match, but it was like they were working two different matches. Okada just kept trying to slow this guy down and Kyle just didn't want to slow down. So it was really weird. They were chatting about a lot of stuff and crowd's kind of dead while, you know, Okada's in control because he's doing his Japan match where the first 15 minutes don't matter. He did his thing where he did
Greg Valentine.
Yeah. Yeah. He does his Rainmaker pose, slips off the crowd. That's a staple now. Mr. Rainmaker, Kyle hits a DVD. They mentioned that collision contenders challenge thing or whatever. And so the three matches, I wrote them down. Orange Cassidy and Brian Keith. So Orange is going to win.
Mm-hmm.
Kenosuke Takeshita and Beast Mortos. So Takeshita's going to win. And Lance Archer and Mark Briscoe. I assume Lance Archer's going to win because then Lance Archer is going to get beat by Takeshita. Lance Archer's going to get beat by Okada in the match, right? Like whichever one, whoever wins out of Archer and Briscoe.
Theoretically stick Mark Briscoe in there.
Right. And then he'll take the pin.
Your ROH champ. Yes.
Is he? Yeah, he is. Yeah, he is. So those are the matches on. So these guys are wrestling on Friday and the winners will all face Okada for the Continental Championship. So even though the Continental Championship is always one-on-one and it's always got 20-minute time limits, and it's always no interference, blah, blah, blah. All of a sudden we got a four-way now.
Yes.
For the Continental title. Okay,
yes. Because we can't build a proper feud between Takeshita, even though right now, see, this is what drove me nuts. This match was a perfect opportunity.
Yes.
Build that feud on commentary with Don Callis sitting on commentary telling you that what Kyle Fletcher is coming out there to do is to soften up Okada.
They even did the ending. At the ending, you wanted to see Takeshita and Okada.
Yes.
It's like they're building.
Don Callis being he's bad in a world of evil where you know, the elite are evil. He's like, look, we have a job to do. We're here for money and cash and titles, and we want to bring that title home to the Don Callis family. And if Kyle Fletcher doesn't do it, if he can't do it, his orders are to hurt Okada enough so that Kenosuke Takeshita can get it done.
Kenosuke Takeshita!
Yes.
Okay. Yeah.
Takeshita.
Yeah. Hey, Max. Yeah.
can get it done on Saturday. Yes. The story is right there, and they just refuse to do it because we need to put over Kyle as underdog babyface and losing. And you're just like,
I think we are building to a singles match between these two. We're just not getting it yet.
No, they're building to it because what's going to happen is then, I'm so mad because it was a four-way and I didn't get the pin and I wasn't pinned, so I deserve a one-on-one match still.
Takeshita's going to hit his finisher on Briscoe, and then someone's going to pull Takeshita out of the ring, and Okada's going to steal the pin, and to continue our WWE tropes. Anyways, back to this match. So they made the 15-minute call, and the crowd kind of groaned because they knew, we're probably going to a draw.
Little did they know, they get a much worse finish.
And then, like, they're outside the ring, and they're just wasting time. And Callis is on commentary, and he's actually saying, like, he just wasted 90 seconds out there. He needs to get moving. So he's trying to tell the story, but Excalibur just goes back to calling the match.
You know what a good manager would do is go to the ring and tell him that.
Yeah. Fletcher did the Rainmaker pose, and then he hit him with a knee to the back of head, went for a tombstone, hit the Rainmaker. Or no, Okada hit the Rainmaker, maintained wrist control. Fans chanted one more time, so he does it. And then he missed the Rainmaker, but hit his wicked drop kick. Went for another Rainmaker, and Kyle blocked it. They exchanged forearms. Kyle hit a half and half. Tombstone by Fletcher for two. Okada's trying to get to the outside. Fletcher pulls him back in. Ref calls 1 minute, so you know it's going to go to a draw. And then all of a sudden, the ref gets distracted, and Kazuchika Okada hit a low blow on Kyle. Then he hit the Rainmaker, and he got the pin. That was it.
There's no point to that match.
No, not you none do at that. All.
I'm just gonna waste time for 20 minutes.
It's because we had four matches for a 2-hour show, and
screw
we had to.
You.
Yeah, we had to stretch.
I'm sorry, I was mad after this. I'm just like, they're not telling me a real story. It's contrived. I thought the match was okay. Don't get me wrong. And Takeshi is definitely in a slow phase. I'm not breaking my ass for anybody on this.
Okada, you mean?
Oh, Okada. Who did I say?
Takeshita.
Oh, yeah.
Takeshita came out at the end, checked on Fletcher, and he was taunting Okada, making belt motions. And
yes. It was complete and utter.
They could have just made Okada and Takeshita for Saturday. Know what I mean? Like, yeah.
What do we see in Kyle Fletcher? I like the Protostar gimmick. I like the mask if we're going to make him a mask wrestler. That's
He's just a guy who has good matches and loses.
Has good matches and loses. Whoopie crap.
He's Brian Keith. He's Commander.
He's not special anymore. He's 6'4" and can do everything that half the guys on the roster can't. And just
Put it this way.
You need to wait for Mark Davis. No, you don't.
He's way better than Ricochet. And I
agree.
And I'll tell you, he's not the one that's going to get pushed.
I know.
Yeah.
Because we have that Will dream match to do.
Yep. So earlier this week, Nana and Swerve are in front of a house. And and Swerve explains he bought back his childhood home. He learned how to become fearless there. He fell in hard times. Things got tough. His house got foreclosed. He moved out and made a promise to become successful enough to buy back this property. He's now the proud owner of his childhood home, and he thanked his manager and his best friend, Prince Nana. And all that worked to make Swerve a heel in the Danielson feud, right back to being a lovely,
lovable babyface.
Yeah. This was interesting. They did show highlights of the thing, and I saw this on All In. This was the worst. I don't know if you saw it. It was on the pre-show. And it was Swerve signing his contract with goofball Tony Khan.
Yeah,
like this thing was so bad. I can't believe they put it on. I mean, it was only on YouTube, but still, it was.
They're trying to ape off of what the NFL does with rookie contracts and stuff. When they sign, it's all over social media and cheesy grin. And here's a photo op.
He looked like the rookie signing a contract.
Tony. I know he did.
Yeah. Yeah, like, oh my god, he's got the glasses and the bad hair.
He's wearing a costume to his contract signing, yes.
Yeah. Tony was.
Both.
All right, next up we got Jamie Hayter and Robin Renegade, and I'm thinking, oh my god, they're just going to stretch this thing out. And nope, this was just a quick squash, which is great. She hit her three backbreakers into the Haterade and got the win, and Harley and Serrera were watching TV backstage, and they didn't like the match. And Excalibur plugged a sit down that Renee had with Jamie Hayter. So that, you know what, honestly, that's smart. If people want to watch it, they can go watch it.
I hate people watching monitors this way, but Harley was at least trying in those scenes to have a discussion as if she's breaking down the match she's watching. I give her full credit for that.
Harley's a treasure.
She is. She's. Yeah. I didn't think I'd like her because I just thought but she has comedy chops up the yazoo, and it's hilarious. But I'm liking this new Jamie Hayter.
Yeah,
She's gotten in magnificent shape. Oh boy, she likes being out there. Like after the match, she's just running in circles, kissing her bicep, and then after.
I thought an angle was coming the way they did that. Too. Yeah, you know what? What's funny is when I watched All In, and I knew Jamie Hayter had debuted and everything, but I was thinking if they didn't put her name on the screen and she just ran out, everyone in the building would have thought it was Becky Lynch.
Yes.
Yeah.
Dressed as Asuka.
So,
still my favorite AEW theme though,
which is Jamie Hayter's.
Oh yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
I don't even know what mine is. I have to think about it. Like for original songs,
I was originally going to sing it during this part, but I decided not to.
I mean, I like the Elites, but you know, be the elite. I like that one. Anyway, they don't use it anymore. We go backstage. Roddy and Christopher Daniels. He's all over the show tonight. They're with Renee, and they show and they're watching footage on a iPad of. So somebody needs to tell Harley and Saraya they could just watch these matches on an iPad. But he's got his foot under the ropes, and Hook showed up, and he says, "You're not wrong. Foot was under the ropes. How about we settle it? You and me for the title right here tonight in Milwaukee." Tony must have been happy because he had nothing booked for this show. But Hook, you're funny. I won't fight you here in Milwaukee, but real soon I'm going to call my shot, and you'll be the first to know when. So I don't even think we're getting this on Saturday. I don't know when it's going to happen, but maybe it's going to happen at Grand Slam, actually, is when it's going to happen.
The fatal flaw in this was the iPad thing, because what it came off as, and I may need to rewatch just to see if I can clown on it a bit on Shake Them Ropes. It came off as a sketch or a pre-tape where they weren't rolling tape until they said action.
Oh, okay.
Because it looked like they were stilted there for a few moments, and then it's like, and now here's Roddy, and then they started talking like they had some sort of conversation type thing. It really came off as bad filmmaking, to be honest with you, at a time. And it's one of those weird things where it's just like, no, you start the action or you start rolling and doing your action, and then you make sure sound is speeding. Then you call action, and then you get into the dialogue and everything. On this, it looked like they were waiting for a cue.
That never came.
And still filming it. I was just like, God, that came off so bad to me.
Jonathan thought Roddy was cosplaying Jim Harbaugh, the coach of
the Los Angeles Chargers.
There you go. So we're going to get that match at some point. We just don't know when. And then we go elsewhere backstage, and Marina Shafir is there, and she's just beating people up for some reason. Just walking around backstage. People come up to her.
Hardworking men working in the back.
They just get the shit beat out of them by Marina. And then Mox shows up, and they walk up to the Bucks and Jack Perry. And Mox says, "Gentlemen, you know I don't care what they say." He looks at Perry, and he says, "You're a sweet kid." And he walks away. So I guess this was his heel turn. Because he likes Perry. I don't know.
It was an odd little thing that the BCC never brought up Moxley all night.
I was going to mention that because Danielson was on commentary for that last match.
And nobody asked them about him.
I mean, I could see him not bringing it up. But nobody asking him is ridiculous.
Correct.
Yeah. Yeah. So this was just a table setter for they went to break and they came back and as they're going to break, they said, "When we come back, we will hear from John Moxley." And it's like, oh, okay. That would have been nice to advertise, but because you know what? Coming out of last week, that was the one thing everybody was talking about. So maybe you advertise that this week we're gonna hear more from John Moxley. And people might have been interested, but no.
And the Dapper Yapper needs to change his ring intro when he's a heel.
Well, yeah. I didn't even hear it, but
John Moxley. Oh. John.
Yeah.
J-A-W-N-N-N-N-N.
Yeah. I think there might be a few W's in there too.
Yes.
So after the break, Mox and Marina are in the ring. Fans are chanting Moxley, so I guess the heel turn isn't taking.
They're not doing it strong enough. It's far too subtle.
He told Jack Perry he was a sweet kid. To me, that's a heel. Punk thinks he's a heel anyways.
Well, it could have been he was trying to troll him into a fight.
Could be. He says, I wonder if Darby Allin is somewhere out there in Milwaukee tonight. Spoiler alert, he's not. He says, I don't think so. He said, some years ago, I wrestled a young kid I never heard of. He slept in his car and he showed no fear. He looked at me and he smiled. And I knew that kid was special. And I still think that. Darby's his own man. He walks his own path. He plays the game the way it was meant to be played. Darby Allin knows the chance to be in this sport, to perform in front of all these people on television every week is a privilege. It's not something you're entitled to, but how quickly we forget that. I'm not an impatient man, but the clock is ticking. I just want to talk. I don't want to apply pressure, but I will. So don't make me, Darby. I just want to talk. And he throws the mic down, and they leave through the crowd. Announcers are calling what Moxley said riddles and Sphinx-like statements, which sounds like something Michael Cole would say. Because I don't know what they were talking about. He was pretty clear.
I agree, but I agree that that's what he's doing. Because this is a babyface promo putting over Darby. And then he just goes, I just want to talk, which isn't true.
Right. So he's not like, he's a heel. He's, you know, right? I think.
No, he is a heel. But yeah. He's not, but he hasn't healed on the audience yet.
Yeah, I guess. I mean, last week when
they still think he's stone cold.
Yeah, okay. I mean, I think Marina's definitely a heel, right?
Marina is a blank slate on which we can all put our hopes and dreams.
All right. I don't know.
They're just trying to give her something.
And I mean, you came up with the idea last week on the show. I think it was on the show, right? Unless it was afterwards. I think it was during the show, though, where you thought maybe this was going to lead to Shane and Lashley and Shelton.
I said it's a possibility.
Well, that got some traction last week. People,
I know that's unfortunate.
People think that might be happening.
Moxley loves the MMA.
John points out what it's worth. There was an after the show clip a few weeks after Punk first came back where he put his arm around Jack and called him the sweetest kid. Okay, that can't be a coincidence.
God, I hope Moxley's not cosplaying Punk.
Oh my God. What, the fake MMA guy?
Yes.
Yeah, pretending to be... oh, God.
That's why he's hanging around Marina. That's why Josh Barnett might be rumored to be coming.
Well, see, the Josh Barnett thing is really interesting because he's been working with WWE.
Yeah, so, well, he's also... Yeah. I mean, everybody works Bloodsport, including Moxley. Moxley likes it.
True. But, I mean, if he goes into AEW, I don't think WWE is working Bloodsport anymore.
No.
All right. We go back to Renee with the learning tree. And she says, Jericho, since the 8-man tag, you said you want to get something off your chest. He says, hi, guys. I don't think
He did not say hi, guys. He held the smile there and the wave.
Yes.
For a good 10 seconds. At least, and then said, hi. This is his new bit. He's going to see how long he can hold this.
I don't think Orange Cassidy realized the severity of what he did to me when he ruined my $7,000 jacket. And they showed highlights from this match that was over 4 years ago, July 15th, 2020. It wasn't a match, but it was a promo. And Orange dumped a vat of orange juice on him and ruined his jacket. And he said, that's what that jacket cost me, and I want it back. So Friday, during the Collision Continental Contender Challenge, Brian Keith is going to squeeze that $7,000 out of your hide. And then Bill says, as the learning tree has always taught me, the true indication of a man's heart relies on his ability to make good on his debts. And then Brian Keith says, make good on your debts. And Orange Cassidy shows up and he gets in Brian's face and he says, hey, Brian, I heard everything. If you beat me on Friday, I'll give him his $7,000 in cash. And then he walks away. Or he told him, tell Jericho this, even though Jericho's standing right there.
No, that was the crux of the promo.
Yeah.
And Brian Keith is like pointing right there. And Jericho's like, am I not standing right next to you?
Yeah. And then he leaves. And then Brian Keith says, disrespect. This is exactly what I'm talking about. I'll make sure you pay the damn price. And he walks away. And then Jericho waits. And he says, instead of shouting like Brian Keith does, he very calmly says, pay the damn price. It was beautiful.
Yes.
Yeah.
This is a phenomenal comedy sketch.
Yeah. Yeah, it was. It was very, very good. Because, the roles were reversed. And it was great.
And Bill's fantastic, too. I don't want to give him short shrift.
No.
His Eddie middle. Haskell is fantastic.
Eddie Haskell or I can never remember the name, but Ricky Stratton's friend. that played by Jason Bateman.
Jason Bateman on Silver Spoons?
Yes. Wow. Yeah. I just watched an episode. I was flicking through the stations the other day and it was on.
Does it hold up in any way?
Not even close. But I remembered lines. I mean, I haven't watched this thing in 40 years and I'm remembering lines from it. Like that's how much it affected me. Anyways, next up. Mariah May defending her AEW Women's Championship against Nyla Rose in a match they called Beauty versus the Native Beast. And this was the prime example of a match that they needed to stretch. This was a 6-minute match that I think went about 14 minutes. I don't know how long it went. It felt like 14 minutes. They were killing time. They were wasting time. Nyla was in control and then Mariah was selling and they just went on and on. They went through a break. They both kissed each other at different points. Fans were chanting, "Let's go Nyla," at one point, which is, you know, good for her. Mariah went for a crossbody. Nyla caught her, gave her the world's strongest slam. Mariah rolled out of the ring. Aubrey was checking on Mariah. They were trying to sell it like she was really hurt, but then she just miraculously came to and took out Nyla's knee, then hit her with a high knee, and she was trying to get a count out win, and then Nyla made it back in. And then Mariah hit a running knee and a Storm Zero and got the win. And it was a fine win over a former champ. But it was 12 minutes of my life I wish I could have back.
I think they need to rethink this match a little bit more. I don't like that. The take out the knee spot was just the most gentle. Yeah. Mariah May just sweeping the thing. And now Rose needs credibility. She's the Vader of this division.
Is she?
You know, she used to be.
Yeah, I mean, she definitely used to be. I just don't know if she is anymore.
She's not anymore, but she doesn't.
She's
have
like
to
the
win.
Jinder Mahal of this division at this point.
It's not the worst comparison. I don't want to go that far, but
I mean, former champ that has zero credibility.
Okay, I'll go with that.
I love Nyla Rose. Don't get me wrong. I think she's so entertaining, and her squash matches are great.
But why is a woman that looks like Mariah May dominating someone like Nyla Rose? That's the question you have to ask, and then you have to plan spots around that.
For 80% of the match, that wasn't what was happening.
No, but also Nyla wasn't destroying her either. It was
true. You know, it was a back and forth. I mean, they were literally killing time. Like, you know,
I thought Mariah May should have been scared of Nyla Rose at one point.
Yes, yeah, but that doesn't really fit her character. So maybe they should have done this match.
That's my conclusion too, Paul.
Yeah, maybe just Serena Deeb, you know?
No, not even Deeb. I mean, the other Renegade would have been fine.
I think she's hurt.
She still would have been fine.
But if you wanted a match that you could put
a match of some length, okay.
Yeah that's why I say Serena
Deeb. You have your Red Velvets, you have your
Queen Aminata.
Kira Hogan's. Queen Aminata, I say for a special occasion because Queen Aminata is going to chop the crap out of her and it's going to be fantastic.
She jobbed on Saturday.
I know, it was sad. I'm wearing a black armband.
Kiara Hogan, I think, is injured too. A lot of injuries.
They're doing TikTok videos with Red Velvet, so I don't
know. Oh, okay. I wouldn't know. Yeah, it was fine. After the match, Mariah had a nasty scar on her forehead. I don't know if it was from the match or if it was there before.
That's from All In.
Oh, is it? Okay.
She was bleeding.
She posed with the belt. She was basically making out with it. And then she started rolling around in the ring like Tony used to do. And I thought for sure there's going to be an angle, but nope.
Felt like an angle alert. Nothing happening.
Nope. They were just killing time. Speaking of killing time, we got a Deonna Purrazzo video package.
There's someone who could have wrestled Mariah.
There you go. Every artist goes through phases. Picasso had his blue period. The Texas bull rope match was supposed to be my magnum opus. And she threw a glass in the wall, but it wasn't. But I'm not done making art. I've only just begun. And this was all the build up of match on Friday between her and Hikaru Shida. And Shida's obviously going to beat her. So I'm not sure why they did a video package, but it was a good, fine package. Like, her
she used to be one of your favorites, and you gave her a big cheer when we signed her. Now watch her on Collision.
Yeah. No, I mean, I like her.
With Thunder Rosa and Serena
D. She's good in the ring.
And Aminata.
This promo was good. Like,
it's fine, but nobody on Collision matters.
No, and why are you giving a promo package to somebody that's just going to lose?
Who's not going to be on a Wednesday.
No. So whatever. And they showed, oh my God, this. So they showed this on Collision and I thought it was bad. They showed it again here on Dynamite. These highlights of Mercedes beating someone. I think they said her name was Momo, in an empty gym. Like apparently no, there was
Capital Collision.
I know, but it looked like an empty gym. Like there was like the everything was black. Like it, and there was no audio. So it looked like it was in the pandemic. Like, am I wrong? Like, it looked like there's no one in this building.
I don't think there was.
But apparently there's 1,800 people there.
Okay. That's nobody to me.
The way they shot it, it looked, I'm not talking.
That's like more than your average Collision at times.
But I'm not saying it looked like there was very few people here or, you know, like it was a small crowd. I'm saying,
I thought you were like, saying literally nobody was there.
That's what it looked like. You saw the highlight.
I didn't watch the crowd.
There was no crowd to watch. There was no one.
It wasn't anything I was paying attention to.
If they were there, you couldn't see them, is my point. Okay. And you couldn't hear them. I
take your word for it.
Yeah. I thought this looked so bad. But anyway, she won. And again, over somebody, you know, I don't know who it is. And, you know, Momo Watanabe or something, or Momo Kongo. Yes. Yeah, there's two different Momos, and I'm never sure which one it is. But Shida, they pointed out that she won a four-way to get the shot at Mercedes on Saturday. They showed highlights of that. And Mercedes comes out with Camille, and she's wearing a kimono. She says, Milwaukee! And decent pop. And please say hello to your CEO. And they booed. Taz is chanting CEO. She says,
yes, we need to make more of this. Just my next helper turn and go, shut up, Taz.
Yeah.
On.
She says, you like my dress? I'm feeling some type of way after defending my title last Friday, my New Japan Strong title. And I see Shida is also feeling some kind of way. But Shida, answer me this. How can you call yourself the ace when you're not even the face of this? Fans are chanting, holy Shida.
Camille's trying to get them to shut up. That was a nice move.
Yeah, she's got good instincts.
Yes.
She says, I'm Two Belt Monet, face of TBS and the face of this whole damn company. And come this Saturday, Shida, you're going to learn there's a price to pay when you mess with Mercedes Monet. And Sheeta's on the screen and she says, up here. And she says, you are
speaking one of Jinder Mahal, the up here move on the
Yeah. You're one contender from looking at the new TBS champion. You know, just like Milwaukee knows, you can't beat the ace. And she tore off her jacket. And she had a shirt on. I was like, okay. It's like a t-shirt. And Christopher Daniels shows up in this video. What?
What were you expecting?
I don't know. Like, she usually tears off her jacket and she's wearing a bra. Like,
let's continue this. I have thoughts on the promo.
So Christopher Daniels shows up and he says, Camille, you're a hell of a competitor, but you're a nuisance. So when Shida returns to challenge for the title, you're banned from ringside. And then Shida says, some Japanese, I know you understand. Sayonara, bitch. And Christopher Daniels aghast. And that's that. So
the suit look is always awesome.
Yes.
I loved it. Sheeta's far more comfortable in her English than she used to be.
Yes.
I thought this was probably her best promo, and she looked like she was having a blast doing it.
Yep.
I'm going to position something to you, Paul.
Okay.
Are we getting a love triangle angle with Mercedes, Okada, and Shida?
No.
He just took his line.
Yeah, that was... I don't think that...
Sayonara, bitch.
I think you're reading too much into it.
I know I am. This is the bit I'm doing. You're not going along. That's fine. I'm just going to keep going.
Okay. No,
I liked this promo out of Shida. I did. I thought this was a lot of fun out of her. She has no chance of winning. Mercedes is just such a gimmick.
They're going to have a great match.
And... I'm feeling in some kind of way, so I'm wearing this ridiculous outfit right now. All right, works for me. You don't have to say sorry. Well,
she defended her New Japan title, so she's going to wear a New Japan outfit.
But her outfit was a bit ridiculous. Let's face it. She was playing it out. She likes playing this clown. She has a great dumb B-villain laugh.
Yeah. It's ironic that she was dressed like a Japanese superstar, and Shida was dressed like a CEO.
Yes.
Yeah. So
there you go. Albeit, you know, the red... red tie and red jacket, very video gamey.
And a red t-shirt underneath it. I guess that's an AEW.
I like that shirt. It's very Kill Billish.
Well, there is cool. This. Biggest problem is Sheeta just lost to Mercedes a few weeks ago on Dynamite. Yeah.
Look, that's for people who pay attention. We're just booking matches.
It was funny because I'm watching this match and they're talking about Mercedes. No, it was All In. And I was thinking about, they pointed out how she had beaten these former world champions. And I think they're setting up so that eventually she's going to beat the world champion. But now she's just recycling the former champions that she's already beat.
So, question, is this for the New Japan Strong?
No, it's for the TBS title.
TBS? Okay, never mind.
Yeah, but I don't think that would matter either way. Like,
I thought it might. I thought they might.
Sheeta's got no ties to New Japan. So.
Okay.
Yeah. We go backstage to an Elite tape promo, and Bucks say that Jack has something to say. So he says, 3 years ago in Chicago at All Out 2021, very first time Brian Danielson set foot in AEW, I was there. I felt the ground shake. I promised myself it would be my turn at some day to stand in the ring with the American Dragon. Earlier this year, hadn't been in AEW in quite some time. I heard his career was ending. The way things were playing out, I'd probably never get my chance. But I didn't give up. I changed the person I was. I went to Japan and I changed. Did everything I could to get back here and I did it myself. And someone like you could have helped me, Brian Danielson, but you didn't. So the one thing that you care about is your perfect little ending. Well, this Saturday where it all began, it's not going to be a happy ending for you. That was a good promo. And then Matt says, we're going to do anything we can to make sure the AEW World title comes back to where it belongs with the Elite. And he tells it to cut the camera. So you could read into this that they're going to get Christian involved. Because they've got history with Christian too, right?
Yeah, but he's not part of the Elite.
He's not, but I think one of them owes the other one a favor.
Okay.
I'm almost positive of that. I think
you're correct on that.
Yeah. Remember they gave him a world title shot that he didn't deserve? Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. So I think
Yeah, you need to go out there and cash in.
Yeah.
But then if that happens, then Danielson wins because he overcomes 2-on-1.
Probably, yeah.
My thinking was Christian gets revenge on Jungle Boy for burying him 6 feet under.
Well, maybe Christian gets the belt and then Jack turns on him.
That could be it too.
Then we get Christian and Jack Perry headlining a pay-per-view.
No, that's not.
Oh God. All right. So then Danielson's music starts playing, and I'm like, I always fast forward entrances, so I'm like, okay, I don't know why his music's playing, so I start fast forwarding, and all of a sudden there's a commercial. I'm like, what the hell? So I actually rewound it. And then apparently he just did his entrance so he could go sit and do commentary. So
it's for Don Callis. Why not him?
Yeah, I guess. So we get our main event. And it's Orange Cassidy, Kyle O'Reilly, and Will Ospreay in a non-title match against the Trios champions, Pac, Claudio, and Wheeler Yuta. And after this match is over, I don't have any idea why this wasn't a title match. Very easily could have been. But anyways, they announced a 30-minute time limit, and I noted there was only 30 minutes left in the show. So during the Will Ospreay entrance, did you see Kyle O'Reilly?
Yes.
Playing air guitar.
Yes, he's back to being cool, Kyle.
Yeah, and I think he was even maybe mouthing the words that Justin Roberts was saying. He needs to stop. Anyways. Danielson was on commentary, as I pointed out. He did a lot. He added to the match. He talked about their training. They told some good stories in this match. Whenever Orange Cassidy and Wheeler were in there, they reminded us that they used to be teammates and the best friends, and Orange Cassidy was his mentor. And then Danielson said, well, he's a lot better now that he's in the BCC. Pac and Ospreay got in together for the first time, chanted holy shit. They did a bunch of spots where they didn't really touch. They just kind of teased like they were going to touch. Danielson called Ospreay the best wrestler he's ever been in the ring with, said Pac was at the same level. They all were in the ring at one point. They went to a break. So they come back from the break, and it's Wheeler and Orange Cassidy. And again, they're talking about the mentor stuff. Pac tagged in, and they brought up the history of Pac and Orange Cassidy and that match they had where Orange Cassidy finally decided to try. They just kept going. They went on and on. I did note here that the announcers not once asked Danielson about Moxley. They kept doing more stuff. It was all good, but it was just kind of just happening, not, just spot this, that, blah, blah, blah. They went through another break. They come back, and then the match kind of heated up. Claudio was in there with Orange Cassidy. They all did their dives outside the ring to take people out, and it ended up with Ospreay taking out Pac, and they brawled up the ramp, and they ended up brawling to the back. So they're kind of basically out of the match. Actually before they did that, Pac went for a poison rana, but Will escaped and then hit him with a somersault off the stage to the floor. So back in the ring, it was Orange Cassidy and Claudio. Diving DDT by Orange. Orange missed an Orange punch. Claudio hit a Stun Dog Millionaire. Orange gave him a beach break for a near fall. Orange and Kyle O'Reilly were doing the kicks to Claudio's chest. Wheeler pulled Orange out of the ring. Kyle had a guillotine on Claudio forever. And Danielson did a great job here explaining the hold and how Claudio could break out of it. Claudio tried to slam him out of it, but Kyle held on. Then he bashed Kyle into the turnbuckles, but he still held on. And at this point, Danielson says Kyle should be in the BCC. Eventually, Kyle brought Claudio to the mat. Claudio's arm almost went down, but then he got up, hit the uppercut, gave him the giant swing. Wheeler drop kicked him, and Claudio pinned him. So all that, so that Kyle could take a pin, which of all these guys in this match, I would have guessed at the beginning that it would be either him or Wheeler taking the pin, and it was him. So, and then after the match, Danielson came to the ring to congratulate the BCC. Pac and Will had disappeared. Lee attacked him from behind with a kata. Perry grabbed a chair. Bucks held Danielson. Claudio took out Perry at the knees. And then eventually they all were in there with Perry, and the Bucks pulled him out. Danielson wanted to kick his fucking head in, but the Elite wouldn't let him. And then Claudio says, "Let me tell you this. You kids just made the biggest mistakes of your life. You fucked up, Chance." Matt tells him to shut up. He says, "Lately I've been in the mood to collect golds, trophy in Mexico, trios champs," challenge him to a tag match. And he says, "Me and Wheeler against the Bucks for the tag team championships," and the crowd's chanting yes. Danielson says, "As for you, Jack, there's a lot of people frustrated and seeing you and all your crap. I guarantee you one thing. This Saturday at All Out, Jack Perry, you're going to get your fucking head kicked in." And that was that. There's a match.
He did not promise to win.
No, he did not. No, he did not. But he did promise to kick his head in. Which I'm sure he
kick his head in. I would think that I didn't like the staging necessarily of Pac and Will here, because Pac tried to cripple the man last week.
Yeah.
I think that should be blows as opposed to wrestling. Much like the Wesley Zach Wentz match on NXT TakeOver, the No Mercy Day, where it started with high spots. Yes. A man tries to cripple me, I'm going to try and punch him in the face. That was the only thing. I mean, look, this is fine. I have no notes on it. Oh,
my neck's starting to bother me. Need to get into training with the BCC.
Oh, yeah, you just need to turn it for a second.
So we went backstage.
We had a brainbuster by Okada on Kyle Fletcher on the apron.
Yes, we did.
And it was like 5 seconds of being out of the ring and then back in.
Yeah, because they train their necks.
Fletcher does?
Okay. Oh, yeah, sure. Backstage, Pac and Will were still brawling. A bunch of refs there. Pac gave him a brainbuster.
I like this. Yeah.
Yeah. Gave him a brainbuster on the equipment box. Daniels told him to go away. Pac yelled at him not to underestimate it. Oh, I should point out, and you may have picked up on it, when Bryan Danielson was talking to Jack Perry, he said, "This Sunday at All Out."
Yes.
Maybe he was on Saturday.
Correct.
Yeah. But Pac said, he says, "Don't underestimate you. I'll see you Saturday." So he got the date right. Daniels probably coached him right before the thing.
Danielson might be wrestling on Sunday, which would be unfortunate because he'd already had his last match on Saturday.
Who knows?
A day late and a dollar short. Okay.
You know what it is? It's because he comes from WWE, and Moxley made the same mistake one time too, because they're used to
everybody makes pay-per-views. The same mistake because they used to. I mean, I couldn't imagine they could survive in the 80s when you had pay-per-views on random Mondays and Tuesdays.
Well, and these guys have had their heads kicked in a few times. And so at All Out, we got Ospreay and Pac. Tony Khan just made the match, the Young Bucks and the BCC. So I guess the Bucks are back to having no power. And Hangman and Swerve in a steel cage match. And breaking news on Collision on Friday night, we're going to have an all-star 8-man tag match. The Elite against Bryan Danielson, Pac, Claudio, and Wheeler. So 24 hours before their world title match, Bryan Danielson and Perry are going to kill themselves in this 8-man.
I don't think they're going to kill themselves.
I think you're wrong. Danielson is going to bleed. I would almost guarantee it.
I would find it high comedy if somebody ended up getting hurt.
Well, they won't get hurt, but Danielson's going to bleed in this match. Okay. I just about guarantee.
Yes. Yes.
So Tony Schiavone was in the ring for the contract signing. He introduced Swerve first. That was my clue that we weren't going to see Hangman. So he comes out, not as out. Then he introduced Hangman, and he's not out. So we introduced him again, and he's still not out. And then all of a sudden, we hear a knock on the door, and we go to the video wall, and it's Hangman. And first thing he says was, "Whose house?" And he says, "Did you really think I'd give you the satisfaction of formality? We both already know this match is going to happen. You know, you're a hard man to find. I looked all over Florida, Washington State, even found your fiance. Your kids aren't even in the picture anymore." He says, "But you know what? You messed up. You slipped up. You showed the world something important to you, your childhood home." And he's walking through and he's like, "Oh, this place got low ceilings." He says, "Your mom probably running across these dirty ass floors. Your dad telling you to shut up so he could hear the TV." He says, "Knowing the kind of man you are, I'll bet your father didn't love you much. Regretted having you at all. What a wonderful world it would have been if you'd never been born." And as he says this, we can see that he's tossing gasoline around from a can. And he said, "This, as you say, your house, I wouldn't blame someone for wondering why I'm here, but you already know. You told me last week when you sat outside my front door and watched me carry my pregnant wife to the hospital that I must make a decision, a choice between hate and success, vengeance and peace. But for me, it's not much of a choice at all, is it? One and the same. I told you for months and months and months that there was nothing I wanted more out of life than to burn your world to the ground. You know, if I couldn't be the one to take the world championship from you, I was happy to watch it slip through your fingers. And this Saturday, wrapped inside a steel cage, I'm going to take your pride and your dignity. You're going to be on your knees begging for mercy, pleading for my forgiveness, but I'm not going to give it to you. So it's time to say your goodbyes, but not from me, from you. Say goodbye to your AEW World Championship and every idea you've ever got of holding it again. Say goodbye to your health, your joy, your happiness. And tonight, you're going to get a little practice." And he lights up a match. And at this point, he's outside and he's been dumping gasoline the whole time. And he lights a match and he drops it. And he says, "Tonight, live in front of the world, you get to say goodbye to Swerve's house." Sits down in a chair. Tosses the lighter and the house went on fire. It was a great visual.
He doesn't
even
watch the house burning. He's just doesn't care.
I mean, I'm sure he could feel it. And Swerve was going nuts in the ring. He's selling this. At least he didn't like do what some stupid baby faces do and take off. Like he's going to make it to wherever
No, this is melodrama time for Swerve and he did fine.
Yeah. But so often, and I think Hangman even did this, like when Swerve was in his house, like Hangman took off.
He was gonna make it
to the house before Swerve got to his kid. Like
that would have been,
you know, Edge did it too when
the house Miz was next door to the arena.
Who was it in Edge's house? Was it Miz or
It was AJ Styles, wasn't it?
Oh, it's AJ. Yeah, you're right. You're right.
Yeah.
So yeah, and Edge took off too because he was gonna make it back to the house before AJ finished. But no, Swerve has played it smart. So he went nuts in the ring.
At least if you're gonna run backstage, grab a phone and call 911.
Did you hear what the fans chanted?
"This is arson."
Yes.
Yes.
That was good. At first, I thought it was "This is awesome," but when I saw John in Memphis' comment, I realized, oh yeah, this is arson. This is arson. That's good.
That said, it was the week after Swerve bragged about hanging outside his house. It's one of those things where it's like, again, there's no baby face here. It's just two really bad people who hate each other. And I wish they'd lean more into that.
2 weeks. Two weeks after Swerve threatened to invade Danielson's home while he's having a conversation with his wife.
Yeah.
And he vowed to beat him to death in front of his daughter, I think. Now he's a baby face.
I bought my childhood home. Is everybody happy for me? No.
Yeah. One thing I will point out, this is a little behind the scenes ish. The fact that Tony Khan, most likely, I'm assuming, paid for this house just so he could burn it down for an angle tells me that he's probably got some money coming his way in the next week or so.
I want to guess that this was on a back lot somewhere.
Oh, you don't think this is really his childhood home?
I didn't say that, Paul. I just said I don't think it was a real home necessarily.
Well, that's what I'm asking. I'm saying you don't think he actually burned his real home.
No, I don't think he burned an actual real house.
Okay.
That's what
you're probably right. Did Randy Orton really burn down Bray's house?
Yes.
Probably not, eh?
Yes, yeah. Because okay. Everything on the internet's true. Well, he stood in front of it with that stupid hands thing and stuff.
Yeah. As they slowly turn into 2017 to 2019 WWE.
Oh, God. Yeah. I don't know. I mean, look. I
like the angle. I'm not going to lie. I thought it was great. And I like the Orton Bray one too, so I'm not hypocritical.
I like the angle. I just wish there was an ounce of honor in one of these people.
Chester, he brings up a good point. 2 weeks in a row, they ended with a pre-taped video because last one was Jack Perry.
Oh, that's right.
Well, I think this was supposed to be live.
Yes.
Yeah, this wasn't pre-taped. Because if it was pre-taped, Hangman would have attacked him from behind. That would have been hilarious.
Yeah, the cameraman would be a little bit nervous. No witnesses.
total non sequitur sidebar. I just watched the Magnum TA Dark Side. It's okay. Eerie how much he Hangman reminds me of Magnum. Totally. Like I didn't see a lot of Magnum back in the day.
Okay.
So yeah, I you know,
the Magnum was local to me.
Well, and I didn't realize he was from Virginia.
Yeah,
I had no idea. Yeah,
so Chesapeake. Yeah.
Yeah, they're really like the two of them. Like, I mean, Magnum could be his dad.
No, the moment he got the stash and he shaved the rest, he gained the little weight in his face. You're like, my God. And he kind of has that blonde mullet thing going.
And with the leather jacket too.
Yes.
Oh my God. Except he's a heel, of course, because they don't get it.
Not nearly as stoic.
No.
He still has the emo in him.
That must have been traumatic for you, though, eh? Like when he had the thing.
It was sad, yeah. And it was like one of those things where it's like, because the thing was on TV, what they did was they kept kind of, he'll be back.
Yeah, and I mean,
you just knew he wasn't because he was like.
Was me reading in the wrestling magazines and stuff, like I assumed he would be back, like, you know, because he showed up at that one pay-per-view or.
Showed up with the cane at the Crockett Cup. And then they hired him to do commentary, and then they did the angle with Tully, where he had to take a bump and he couldn't take a bump. Like J.J. Dillon's like gently leaning him down to the ground after
they showed that angle on Dark Side, and it was like, oh yeah, okay, you could tell, and like he's still alive, but he's technically raised a quadriplegic. Yeah, well, that was a whole thing they didn't tell in that doc. They just kind of hinted at the end. His first wife is like the least charismatic person I've ever seen on television.
Yes.
Yeah.
All right. Let's do a preview of this.
Yeah. So I've got it up here. All Out is on Saturday in Chicago at the Now Arena, I think.
Is it Estates or is it in Chicago?
It's Hoffman Estates. Hoffman Estates. Yeah. So this is the site of the original All In.
Yeah.
We have the... for the AEW International Championship, Will Ospreay and Pac. Great match, and Pac's going to win, right? Ospreay, I mean. There's no way.
I don't think there's any title changes on this show.
I think we might get one.
Okay, I'm continuing. Yeah. Maybe I'll change my mind.
Actually, wait a minute. Oh, no. No, we won't. Because the one that I thought we might get isn't actually a title match. Because... Willow Nightingale and Chris Statlander is not for the CMLL title. It's just a Chicago street fight because, as we suspected last week, CMLL...
They won't sanction it.
Yeah. So I think Stat's got to win this one, right?
And then lay claim that she's the true rightful heir of the CMLL championship.
And then we'll do another match.
In Mexico. Yeah, maybe.
Oh, yeah. I wasn't even thinking that, but yeah, they could do that. Swerve and Hangman. So they've got this listed third, but I have a feeling this may... So, okay, it says here that it's a steel cage lights out match. So if it's a lights out match, it's probably the main event. I haven't seen them say it's a lights out match.
I didn't see them say it's a lights out match, but they actually do they've had a lights out match before where it was the last match on the card, and they said, yeah, we're not, AEW does not sanction this in any way. They really did it upright, I think. Yeah. So, yeah.
If it is an all-out match, if it is a lights-out match, it's probably the main event, and I would think, I would think that that would be last then, but otherwise, it, you know, I don't know when they put this because it's gonna be hard to follow.
And if it's last, then my theory probably of making a title change is wrong.
I think it's got to be Hangman that's got to win this, though, right? He's lost like 3 times in a row to Swerve. But
no, Swerve's your babyface.
Okay, there we go. We're different on this one.
Unless you have a direction for Hangman that I don't know about.
I think he's gonna win the world title from Danielson.
Okay, no, I'll go with that. Yeah, so Hangman destroys Swerve, and then basically cuts a promo on Swerve that he's going to go after Danielson. Okay,
and then eventually Swerve's going to get the title back from Hangman, like down the road.
Okay,
yeah. This one I think we might differ on MJF and Daniel Garcia. The booking would lead you to think it's Garcia, but I think it's MJF.
No, I think it's MJF, and I think he cheats. And I think it's one of those things where it's like, it's a good match until he cheats as everybody's angry at him to get heat.
I'll even go far as to say he's going to use the ring. The ring's not really gone. Or
the brass knuckle. Well,
yeah.
Or that somebody has the ring. Maybe your Wardlow thing comes true again.
Yeah. Who knows? Or somebody else. He's got a new heavy.
I could see. Possibly.
Oh, you know, if Adam might Cole's be ready to
come back. Adam Cole might have the ring hit MJF and then Garcia wins, and then they give Garcia that stupid ceremonial win that way.
We've also got apparently Hobbs is getting close to coming back. I could see MJF with Hobbs. Like, I know Hobbs is part of the Callis family, but I'd love to see MJF and Hobbs as a pair. I think that could be cool.
All right, yeah, no, but I could see them give Garcia the win because his pay-per-view doesn't matter.
Yeah, and then MJF gets a big one, and MJF won the first match, so.
But MJF's one of your top-tier stars.
True. Well, that would make Garcia, so, yeah.
And he just lost at All In.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't think he can lose 2 in a row. Yeah, it's got to be MJF. All right. Mercedes Moné defending her AEW TBS championship. Camille is banned from ringside against Hikaru Shida. So when they banned her from ringside, my immediate thought was she's probably going to get another heavy and add someone to her entourage.
No, my thought is Camille finds a way to show up.
Oh, okay.
That's always how we kind of do it, is you're banned from ringside. Oh, I bought a ticket. I have a front seat.
Yeah. Yeah.
Or she's going to be dressed as a cameraman or something. I don't know.
Either way, Mercedes wins, right?
Yes, Mercedes is winning this. And I think it'll be a pretty good match.
Kazuchika Okada against 3 people to be determined, which are going to be Orange Cassidy and
3 men who have never been in my kitchen. Yes.
Kinosuke Takeshita and Mark Briscoe or Lance Archer. Yeah. And Okada is going to retain. I think he's keeping this title until the tournament.
The winner of the Briscoe Archer match gets pinned.
Yeah, by Okada.
Okada, yes. Yeah.
And then Takeshita challenges him after the match. So.
Yes.
Young Bucks defending the tag team titles against Blackpool Combat Club, Claudio and Wheeler. No title change here, right?
No.
Yeah, Young Bucks retain.
Possibility of a Moxley coming in and tearing up a Yuta or something, though.
Yeah, that could happen. Or Marina.
Yes.
Yeah.
But, you know, just as get the separation from the blood.
It'd be funny if Marina like beat up on Yuta and then Danielson's like, or Moxie's like, hey, I can't control her. Yeah. You know. Main event. There's only 8 matches so far. Like, God, I hope this is all it is. But we know there are going to be like 7 more by Saturday. Bryan Danielson defending the AEW World Championship against Jack Perry. So I assume Danielson's going to retain, but I like your idea of Christian showing up and cashing in again. We haven't seen him since he won that title shot.
Conspicuous by his absence.
Yes.
Almost as if they're trying to make us forget.
Yes. Although they, was it tonight? Or because I watched so much wrestling in the last couple of days. It was either tonight or on Collision that they did bring up the fact that Collision can cash, or that Christian can cash in at any time.
It wasn't tonight. They didn't bring him up tonight. At all.
Okay. So yeah. So that's usually.
And that's what made me think.
Yeah, yeah. Well, and you were on that last week already, too.
Yes.
Like, you kind of were already thinking that, so.
Well, I was thinking, you know, because Danielson has this weird, twisted sense of humor. He's done the big hype of, I'm going to fight my way. Oh, I'm going to work so hard. He gets pinned.
And, you know, Christian won a title in Chicago I think it was 2020.
Did he?
He beat Kenny Omega for the TNA title on an AEW pay-per-view. Or no, it wasn't on a pay-per-view. It was on a
Rampage. There's no way they do this and then end with another match. The ending with Bryan Danielson no longer being a full-time wrestler would have to be the last moment going out of the pay-per-view.
Yeah? Yeah.
So that's why I think Danielson probably retains, and then we get the Hangman win over Strickland.
Because we still have Darby getting a title shot in like 2 weeks.
Two weeks of Grand Slam.
Yeah, 3 weeks from tonight, but 2.5 weeks after this pay-per-view. So, it makes sense for him to wrestle either one of them, Darby and Jack Perry or Darby and Danielson. So, but we've also got Darby and Moxley coming at some point. I assume that match is going to be in Seattle. That to me makes a lot of sense. Moxley, it's kind of like a second home base for him, and it's Darby's home base.
Wrestle Dream?
Tacoma, I should say, not Seattle, but yeah, Wrestle Dream.
Okay.
Yeah. So that's the pay-per-view. That's Saturday. And they announced the 0 hour is starting at 6:30 Eastern, 3:30 your time, 90 minutes. It's going to be a
Luchadors. There's going to be Taven and Bennett somewhere in there.
Yep. We're going to get some women probably.
Some RJ City comedy.
Yeah. Jeff Jarrett in a hat.
Jarrett and Lethal probably at some point.
Yeah, who are there? I'm not sure if they're baby faces or heels. Doesn't matter. Jarrett's a baby face for sure. But
yes, they're baby faces.
Tottenham Singh's back. Outrunners. Maybe we'll get them on the 0 hour.
I have my doubts.
Outrunners against Lethal and Jarrett. Actually, Lethal and Jarrett won a big match on, I can't remember if it was Collision or Rampage, but they won a match. I was expecting them to lose.
They might be doing honors for the Grizzled Young Veterans then.
Maybe. Yeah, I think that might get added to the pay-per-view yet. Grizzly Young Veterans and FTR. I wouldn't be surprised if that gets added. Yeah. So that's it. So Jeff, get your plugs in.
Shake Them Ropes this week, possibly taping tomorrow. I haven't gotten a pick for Vader Club. I assume it's going to be something involving Sid, but we'll be giving ice cold takes on the weekend of WWE Bash in Berlin and also NXT No Mercy, in addition to previewing this All Out card. And if any news drops otherwise, I mean, we're not going to do 20 minutes on Asuka re-signing, but, you know, I'll be in your podcatchers. We're part of Voices of Wrestling, either on the Mega Thread or our own thread on all of your available podcatchers. Follow me at Crap Game 13.
All right. And before we go, I'm Paul A. Fontaine on X, and this is the only show that I do on a regular basis. But I just transferring heat out of questions. I thought we'd answer it real quick. Off topic, what'd you two think of Joe Testore on Raw? I thought he was good. Reminded me of Michael Cole with a deeper voice. That was my take.
I really like Joe on Real Sports because his excitement is infectious. And if he can connect the two here, I mean, he did a very good job. You know, he botched a couple names, but I'm not going to sweat it for week one. He's going to be fine. He's better than the other Real Sports people they brought in who weren't strong broadcasters necessarily. They were guys who worked like ESPN Sports Center desks and stuff. Yeah. So I think Tessitore is he's Mauro Ranallo without the bad references. Oh. Now there's going to be some people who don't like some of his overhyped emotion at times because he can lay it on thick during football and stuff. But I like having actual broadcasters with broadcaster voices on wrestling. But back in the days with the territories where you'd take, you know, the local weatherman or a news guy, and he'd be the guy doing your play-by-play, like Bob Cottle or Dave Brown in Memphis or what have you. I like that kind of credibility being lent there. And I think he's much more of a professional broadcaster than, say, Michael Cole, who's not bad. Don't get me wrong. I'm not saying that, but he has that deep bass sports voice that I really have been craving for a while.
I thought him and Barrett worked really well together too.
I can't wait for Tessitore and McAfee if they ever get to join together, but I don't think they will. I think he's a Michael Cole guy. So,
but I think it was the right choice to having him with Barrett as opposed to Graves. I think Graves would have stepped over him more, and Barrett
Graves would have tried to play Bobby Heenan.
Yeah. Yeah. Him. And this was a lot better. So here you go. Thanks for asking that question, Transfer and Heat. And we'll be back next week and we'll break down all out. And we'll talk about whatever happens next week as we build to Grand Slam, and these shows just keep coming. So for Jeff, I've been Paul, and this has been The Dynamite Show.
Thanks for listening.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.